praise the Lord, folks. Great testimonies today. And we get the sound booth going now. So let's grab our hymnals. Actually, anybody need a hymnal at this time? Okay, good. Plenty of hymnals there. This first song we're going to sing, I've had such a time going through these new songs that Domini has provided for us. I love our new piano player, Domini Bush. She's from Florida, and she's just terrific. I love the sound of her piano. Love everything about it. We're going to sing for our first, I should say our last hymn, He is Lord. It's not in your book, but you won't even need the words. Everybody know the words of this. Here we go. He is Lord. Remain seated for this one. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hey, amen. I'm so glad He is. Most people don't realize that yet, but He is. Hymn number 30, folks, for our final hymn prior to the message. We have a special guest speaker for you today. Hymn number 30. I'm so glad that Jesus keeps me singing as I go. We're going to sing hymn number 30. We're going to sing the first, the third, and the fifth, okay? So just jump a stanza each time and you'll be good. Keeps me singing. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting beneath the sheltering wing, dizzy looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Everybody, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go on the fifth. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high. Woo-hoo! Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Amen. Awesome. Well, without further ado, I think we'll have our guest speaker come on up. And his name is Scott Harriman. Now, he's one of those guys, I love this guy because he loves the Lord. But you know how it seems like a lot of us believers, we get into a certain field of study that That it's just that our thing, you know. For me, it's prophecy. I'm crazy. I can't get enough on prophecy and what's coming down the pike. For Scott, it happens to be creationism. And I love these guys that are into the creationism because it's the foundation of everything we believe. Without the foundation, the house crumbles. See? That's why it's so important to have guys like this that teach and preach on the subject. Come on ahead, brother, and give us what the Lord gave you.
I'm Mr. Scott Harriman. I'm teaching Creation Science 101. I got my degree. Put it under my armpits this morning. I'm sorry. anybody can understand this. This is very simple to understand. And it's actually, it has much more common sense to believe that there's a God rather than say everything came from nothing. That takes more faith. Atheists have stronger faith than us because God is evident in everything. It says in Romans that we are without excuse if we deny his existence. When I was young, I watched these Walking with Cavemen TV shows, and it had, I thought that was interesting and all that, but I took it to, I felt the despair of these ape men dying, and they just rot and decompose, and there's nothing left of them. They have no soul, and they're as if they never were. And I say, okay, did we come from apes? Or do we come from Adam? Okay, so if we're the most evolved creature on this planet, we have the largest brain, why do we behave the worst? You got a silverback gorilla, it could be gentle with a kitten. I saw an orangutan feeding a kitten with a bottle, and I'm thinking. And then I was watching Jerry Springer, or was it Steve Wilkos, some clown, some man, I'm going to call him a man, he's not really a man. Mm-hmm. He beat up a six-week-old child, okay?
Oh, my.
Then he went to prison, and he gets out, and he goes and does his laundry at the laundromat, and he meets this girl, and he's going out with her. I'm going to give you a quote from an atheist, okay? They have their agenda, okay? Mm-hmm. They think, there's no proof of God. And I say, Christianity has fought, still fights, and will continue to fight science to the desperate end over evolution. Because evolution destroys utterly and finally the very reason Jesus' earthly life was supposedly made necessary. Destroy Adam and Eve and the original sin, and in the rubble you will find the sorry remains of the Son of God. If Jesus was not the Redeemer who died for our sins, and this is what evolution means, then Christianity is nothing. Sounds like they got an agenda. Sounds like they know the deal. They know what's going on. Evolution. Okay, and you got creation. Well, it's science versus religion. No, it's faith versus faith, science versus science.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, we get all the evidence, they don't. So, but evolution has a trinity. Time, matter, dead matter, that is, and chance. There's six levels of evolution. Only the last one, microevolution, is provable. That's variation within a kind, a species. There's dogs, cats, human beings, apes, horses, elephants, there's variation. We all see that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Bears, I can go on, okay? First is cosmic evolution, the Big Bang. It's this guy at work, he told me, he says, there's no proof of Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Okay, so where's your proof that this Big Bang happened 14.6 billion years ago? Was the camera rolling then? Were any eyewitness there? No, but you believe that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Chemical evolution. Big Bang produced hydrogen and helium, and which produced all the stars, and out of the stars came the higher elements. Well, you need the elements to make the stars, but then you need the stars to make the elements. That becomes a catch-22, okay? Mm-hmm. Organic evolution. Here's the big kicker. Life from non-life. They say, we got planet Earth, a hot molten mass spinning around in space at 66,000 miles per hour. All of a sudden, is covered in atmosphere, and it rained on the rocks for millions of years. Where did all that rain come from? Where did the water come from?
Mm-hmm.
It's a hot molten mass spinning in space. So you got vacuum, and then you got hot molten mass. Gee, how come this planet's covered with 70% water? And we got an atmosphere, and we got rain, and then we got the oceans, which this planet is covered with water. Macroevolution. Example would be amphibian to reptile, reptile to mammal or bird, ape to man. Okay. All right. micro, which is what I said, is a variation with a kind. One could say that it's like, to make an analogy, take a Rubik's Cube. You have so many blocks. An example of evolution would be additional blocks, an upward linear change, improving an organism, it becoming more complex over time. No, but there's variation within the DNA that's there. Oh, by the way, there's enough information in your DNA to stretch back to the Earth and the Moon hundreds of times. But that's an enormous amount of information. 4,000 sets of encyclopedias would fetch that information, but that just came about by random chance. Okay, all right. Here's what they believe, the evolutionists. All matter and energy eternally old or came from a quantum fluctuation from nothing. All precise orbits of stars and planets, that's just accident. Earth, I elaborate, Earth, a hot molten mass, spinning through space at 66,000 miles per hour, all of a sudden has a nice atmosphere and abundance of water. Life on Earth came from time, dead matter, and chance. A single cell became a man. Nothing plus time plus chance equals a simple cell. And by the way, there's nothing simple about the cell. A cell is more complex than anything man has put together up till now. But that came about by random chance. One cell plus time plus chance equals man. Okay, so man came from dirt. All right. This violates the first and second law of thermodynamics. Mm-hmm. The first law being that matter nor energy can be created or destroyed. The second law states that any organized system of energy or matter over time breaks down, weakens, and is destroyed or it disintegrates. It violates the law of biogenesis. Life can only come from life. It violates cause and effect, which is more philosophical than scientific, but no effect can be greater than its cause. They say, take the human mind in all its complexity. The most complex orchestration of matter in the known universe. Mm-hmm. But that came about by chance. Okay, all right. Violates the law of irreducible complexity. In order for you to be alive, you need your heart, your lungs, your circulatory system, your brain, your eyes. That all has to function for you to go, okay? Mm-hmm. Now take your car, rip out your spark plugs and see how far you're going to go, okay? That's only a small component. The human heart weighs about the size of a fist. You take out someone's heart or half a heart, they're not going nowhere. They're going to fall to the ground. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, let's go back to this Big Bang, okay? Big Bang! All the matter and energy... it was compressed, and then it exploded, and all the hydrogen and helium spread out through the universe, and from all the hydrogen and helium, millions of years went by, and we got the higher elements, okay? Okay, here's a little point that they don't get, okay? The amount of heat generated by that compression would be enormous. It would be hotter than a star. It would destroy any matter being compressed. Hey, that kind of compression would take an inconceivable amount of energy, okay? But guess what you need for that compression? You need an energy source. Mm-hmm. There's no matter there where you got to get the energy source. Like your body moves. You need food to keep your body going. Any kind of energy exertion require an energy source, okay? There's no atoms. There's no energy source. So where's that energy coming from, okay? It's eternally old. It violates the second law of thermodynamics. If it came from nothing, now you're violating the first. You can't get past that. And by the way, the atom, the neutron, the electron, the proton, protons have a positive charge and they repel each other. At the center of each atom are protons. They have a like charge. They should repel each other, mm-hmm. but they don't. Mm-hmm. Can I please quote the Bible? Christ the Creator, before all things and by all things, by Him all things consist. Mm-hmm. Colossians 1:17, and it says in Hebrews, by him the worlds were formed. So there were no telescopes or microscopes back then when the Bible was written. But why do we have, it says made, things made by things not seen and the worlds made. So they're acknowledging the stars are innumerable, the planets are there, made by atoms, things that are not seen, without even the equipment there, and people doubt the Bible. Let's say this explosion happened, okay? The hydrogen and helium explode, right? It went out to the universe, and guess what? It's a vacuum, so there's no friction. You know, something like an object enters the Earth's atmosphere. The first thing it will do is start burning. because of the friction. Mm-hmm. Velocity meets resistance and produces friction, which then produces heat, okay? Mm-hmm. There'd be no friction in a vacuum because there's nothing there. So it would go to the outermost reaches of the universe, it wouldn't coalesce into stars. And you think it that's caused by a phenomenon known as angular momentum. Things will start to swirl together, and they'll start producing the stars and whatnot. And, okay, things will start to swirl. You need the elements to make the stars, but then the stars make the elements. You got catch 22. It's just silly. Mm-hmm. And it says in the Bible, all stars and planets have a different composition. Now, you think of that, they came from the same energy source, they'd be all the same. They'd all be the same, but each star and each planet has its own composition. Mm-hmm. And God says in the Bible that each of these stars has its own name. Mm-hmm. Like, let me quote the Bible again. There's one glory of the moon, one glory of the sun, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from the other star in glory. Now, how would men back then have that knowledge? They had no telescopes. Mm-hmm. The only thing that was visible to them would be the 1,100, 1,200 stars that they could see with the naked eye. It says way back that the stars are as innumerable as the grains of sand on the beach. That's prophetic right there. That's way ahead of its time. Millennia ahead of its time. Another thing, that too, it's a joke, okay? They want proof of the Big Bang. Get this, right? Oh, we could tell at one focal point where the Big Bang occurred, okay? It would be at one point, and there'd be a trace of heat, radiation, energy emitting very low, very faint, but from that direction. But what they're finding is all, yeah, they're finding traces of heat out there, but from all directions, and it's coming from the stars, which makes sense. The Earth is 93 million miles away from the sun, and I don't have to tell you how it feels on a hot summer day. It can get roasting. You go in the desert, you got no water, you're going to be hurting. A star named Antares is so large, it could fit 64 million of our suns inside. There is a star in the Hercules cluster that's 100 million times bigger than that one. And the star is even bigger than that. So maybe you might think they might be giving off some heat. Hello? They're gigantic stars that make our star look like a marble. That's where heat is, folks. Okay, now we're going to move over to organic evolution. Again, time, dead matter, and chance. Okay, for you Powerball players, your chances of winning five times over are better than dead matter coming to life. But you atheist people, you guys got real faith. I admire that, but you're wrong. Okay. Irreducible complexity with no intelligent input caused everything to arise by chance. Okay, all right. The building blocks, get this, the building blocks of life are amino acids to make protein. Like if I were to make a building, I would need steel, wood, bricks. You need amino acids to build the protein. That's just the basic building blocks of life. Mm. All right, the problem is proteins cannot form in water. Chemicals needed for life decompose in the presence of oxygen. So your amino acids can't form protein in water and oxygen, okay? But if you have the building blocks and you have an organism, what's the first thing it's going to need? Water and oxygen, or it's going to die. So you got another catch-22. Mm-hmm. Okay, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I think he knew what he was doing. Again, all organs would have to appear simultaneously for the creature to live. There's a problem there. Oh, they say there was no ozone layer millions and millions of years ago. So the ultraviolet light would destroy any organisms as they're being formed. So that, okay, you got 20 amino acids necessary to build a protein molecule. Okay, and they all have to align correctly or you're not going to have it. First shot or no life. That's 2.5 times 10 to the 16th power. That's sick. That's ridiculous. That's a quadrillion, just the building blocks. And get this, drum roll, the mathematical probability of a single cell forming and staying alive, staying alive, 1 to the 40,000th power. That's 1 followed by 40,000 zeros. Okay, well, it takes some strong faith to believe in that. There's enough information in your DNA to fill 4,000 encyclopedias, but that's all by chance. Yeah, right. Okay. Now we're moving over to the macroevolution, okay? Kind reproduces after kind. Dogs, cats, horses, camels, elephants, birds, reptiles, frogs, fish, humans. Okay. Mm-hmm. Kind after kind, okay? Now, actually, here I got an example here. The lion and tiger can mate, and they produce a liger. Okay, now you got two felines mating. Okay, they produce a liger. Okay, that's sterile. You got a horse and a donkey. There's two equine. The horse kind is also known as the equine. Horse and donkey, they make a mule. That is also a sterile creature. So God knew exactly what he was doing. He created these creatures. They can only produce kind after kind. Even close kinds together don't make it, okay? 99.9% of mutations are harmful. There was a fruit fly experiment conducted back in the last century. Thousands and thousands and thousands of generations of fruit flies. And guess what? After all their experimentation, they're still fruit flies. And any mutations that occurred were non-beneficial. There was destruction. There was nothing. There was no new fruit fly. Oh, super evolved, eight wings, jet. No, it's like, no, it just got worse. Okay? When the fossil, when we look at the fossil record, we find creatures that are fully developed, fully formed. When we look for a fossil of an insect or a fish or an amphibian or a bird, they are exactly what we see them to be, a bird or a canine. Or a dinosaur or whatnot. They're not half this, half that. They're fully. No fish to amphibians. No amphibian to reptile. No reptile to bird. No feathered. They propagate these feathered dinosaurs in the museums. Gee, when did they dig up a feathered dinosaur? Oh, that just put a couple feathers. That makes them look good. Okay, that looks sharp. Give them some suede shoes and maybe that might, you know. There's no feathered dinosaurs, okay? Reptiles are reptiles. Mammals are mammals. Birds are birds, okay? Half lung and gill, that ain't working. Half arm, wing, that ain't working. Half flipper leg, again, I could go on and on. A creature is designed to fit in its environment and produce after its kind. It all has to be there or it's not working. Take your spark plugs out of your car, take your tires off, it ain't going nowhere. God designed, and it works. And get this, okay, ape to man. Man has been on this planet a million years. We dig up these bones, we find these half ape, half man, blah, blah. That's proof of evolution. You take all those fossils, like it would fit on a couple pool tables. Mm-hmm. You think if man's been on this planet, there'd be trillions and trillions and trillions of... Get this. Assuming a low growth rate of 0.01%, the growth rate is 1 or 2%, I believe, year to year. Divide that. 0.01% annually. The resultant population at the time of Christ would be an astounding 2 × 10⁴ power. That's 10 followed by 43 zeros. That's how many people would have been on planet Earth if man had been around for a million years. So I can mathematically and scientifically prove that evolution did not happen. They are now 7 × 10⁹ power of people on this planet now, 7 billion. 1,000 solar systems with 9 planets just like ours could barely... That's like, take 1,000 solar systems, each one having 9 Earths, okay... Wouldn't be able to hold that many people jam-packed in solid. And that's just man. That's not, never mind the other creatures. Mm-hmm. So let's do the math. It's just a statistical impossibility. Okay, and the age of the Earth. Okay, this is comical, right? I saw this guy on TV, and he's a scientist, and he's going on. And he's saying, more science, more science, more science. Less religion, more science, even more science, even more science. And then we're going to look back 1,000 years. How ignorant we were to believe in the Bible and all that. Now we're enlightened. Yeah, right. Forever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. 1862, they said the Earth is 20 million years old. 1897, 40 million. 1899, 90 million. 1921, it jumps up to 1 billion years old. 1933, 1.6 billion. Oh, we're getting smarter. 1947, 3.35 billion years. 1956, 4.5 billion years. Present, 5 billion years. I'm going to rest my belief on what you guys are. When you go back to the Bible, I think God knew what he was talking about. Because I could get into biblical science and science that's present. It's millennia ahead of its time. And there's no justification for unbelief other than hatred for God, because all of the universe and all of nature screams proof of his existence, his deity, his design. Much of our products, if we stop and think about it and realize it, come from his design. And I could make a class on that right there. But God is the ultimate designer, and he created everything. He created our minds. There's a God. I'm a human being made in his image. I have a soul. I am no naked ape. You know, Desmond Morris came out with a book called The Naked Ape. It's like, I read it. I was depressed. I was wondering why I'm depressed. Because I have a soul, all right? Okay, that covers The Impossibility of Evolution. Next week, I'm going to come up with the 6 days of creation, go over each one of those, and the proofs of a young Earth. There are several proofs of the Earth being very young. And after that, I'm going to go over Noah's Flood, the fossil record, the Ice Age, and the different races. That's all for now.
All right, folks, let's grab our hymnals. We'll finish up with a song today. And praise the Lord for good teaching, solid biblical teaching that confirms the scriptural record. And looking forward to next time as well, particularly that Ice Age, fascinating, and what it has to do with the universal deluge. Let's grab our hymnals at this time, and we're going to open up to hymn 26. We'll stand for our final hymn today. I will sing The Wondrous Story, and we're going to sing all five. Hymn 26, sing it to the Lord. Yes, I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he lived his holy glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his sway. Yes, sir. Good stuff. We appreciate that, brother.
Yeah, I like
that. Right on. And we need more of it. Because people today...
tens of thousands of high schools and colleges teach evolution as fact.
Oh, I know.
You're stupid.
They eat it. They eat it up. They eat it up. Anything but the Bible. They believe all kinds of zaniness today. New Age movement.
Yeah.
Witchcraft.
Yeah.
The occult.
Yeah.
The cults. You name it. They believe it. Anything except the truth of the gospel.
Right.
So we need more of that. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you so much today for a good service together. And Lord, we love to worship thee in the setting of church. It's a blessing to come together to lift thy holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you for Brother Scott and the teaching he's brought today.
how foolish for one to believe in the impossibility of evolution. Lord, I pray you'd open eyes, even through this message, that people will come to realize there is a God, and every single one of us will give account to him one day. And, oh Lord, our future eternity all depends upon what we did or did not do with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray you bless us as we're dismissed and use us as your witnesses this week to tell somebody about your cross. And we'll thank you ahead of time for all you're going to do. Bring us back together next time in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.